Hello and welcome to episode 28 of the First and Gold podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined by Sim Longa. And Sim, last time we talked about how imperative it was for the Boilermakers to come out and, really just not stub their toe and try not to look too far ahead. And we'll talk about the upcoming schedule and kind of the beast that it is. But they pretty handedly took care of business both on the road at Iowa and then home against USC. Two relatively stress-free games and just, a very kind of workmanlike week and one that you really like to see where they just went out and took care of business.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like you said, it was that last week posed it posed a couple of challenges in terms of like, yeah, you look at the schedule ahead and it's kind of like, okay, well, we get these two, and then like, you can almost get too consumed with what lies after those two games. But the fact that they were able to, obviously the Iowa game, I think that was just more of like a shootout. It was a shot making, masterclass really in the second half. But yeah, just being able to find ways to win both of them, and like you said, relatively comfortable. I mean, that even though the Iowa game, what, that was a 9-point game. If I mean, Purdue was in the lead for most of that game, it felt like it, especially like in the second half, and it was just more so trying to stave them off. So yeah, it was just nice for them to get two wins, and I think we've been talking about it as of late. Like we're not, as much as we, we love us a blowout, and some stress free basketball. At the end of the day, we're really at the portion of the program where it's just about like just finding ways to win. So that's what matters, just finding ways to win, continuing to stack up those wins, and see if we can't go ahead and get ourselves another, Big Ten regular season championship.
Yeah, and I think they really just took care of business, for lack of a better term. It was a couple of games where, you always get a little hesitant in both games, both against Iowa and USC. The team's respective leading scorer was out. And so you always kind of, worry in the back of your head, like, is something that the team didn't prepare for going to happen? It's like you alluded to last week, is some random walk-on guy just gonna go off,
give us a 30 piece, shoot a career high, like 7 of 8 from three? Yeah,
which almost happened in both games.
Dead ass Wesley Yates was out here getting active, and I was like, oh, so this is man's for the night. All right, then bet.
Not only that, but Josh Dix dropped 27 for Iowa. So it almost happened both times, but it really, I think, kind of speaks to the leadership, and it's something that we talked about that I think kind of gets taken for granted a little bit, is, when you talk about all of the accolades for Braden, Fletch, and Trey, and all deservedly so, but like, they've been through the ringer now. Like, they are not new to anything. They don't really panic under pressure because they've really seen, everything. And I think it really stood out this week, both at Iowa and then home against USC, kind of the leadership that really kind of shone through with those guys.
Yeah, no, and that's what you need, man. At this part of the year, as you're getting deeper into conference season, you need to be able to lean on the experienced guys. And Braden hit that three at the end of the first half against Iowa, and obviously, I think we were all hoping that, like, okay, look, maybe this is kind of what gets us jump started. But then that boy just decided, it was like, no, yeah, like I'm staying on for later. More buckets. And this, like I said, just got active as hell in the second half. You have, Fletch and obviously TKR making big buckets. And then that Caleb, with 10 and 9, a solid performance from him. And that's what you need, is you need your experienced guys to kind of be the anchors. Because like you said, they've been through so much. They've seen it, the highs, the lows. They've seen all of it. So it's just kind of, and I think too, I think Braden might have said it, might have been after the Iowa game, talking about how, like, they've been through these type of situations so much that, like, they just know, in terms of like, hey, we just got to keep our composure, run our stuff, and like continue to, to focus on the details, and like we can find our way out of this. And I think that's what you continue to see, and it's especially good obviously on the road, because the road, like, and especially now that, the ranked seventh in the country, like, we all know that as you get later into a game, as the opposing team is still in it, that crowd, like, the crowd is more and more just waiting to go off, and that momentum can swing so quick. So yeah, it's been nice to just see those guys really step up and kind of be the leaders, just kind of like leading by example. And then, you've been getting some good performances from the freshmen as well, and some of the younger guys. So yeah, it's been nice, man. It's been nice, and we're fortunate to have though, like the guys like Braden Fletch, TKR, and Caleb, who just kind of, hey, hard hat and lunch pail type mentality.
And so let's kind of we kind of you kind of talked about it a little bit, but let's dive into the Iowa game first. 90-81 victory at Carver Hawkeye. When we recorded last week, it had just been announced that Owen Freeman, their leading scorer, was going to be out. And so it was a game where kind of we talked about, like, just win however you can, just make sure you leave Iowa with a win. And it was not their best defensive performance by any means, but they did leave with a win, thanks in large part to number three, who after the game, it appeared someone or multiple people from Iowa had got under his skin, and kind of awoken a beast. And I'm not really sure why you'd want to do that. But man, did Braden embrace the villain. 31 points, 5 of 7 from three, 6 rebounds, only 4 assists. But I say only because, he dropped 31 points. So we'll let that slide a little bit. But it did probably hurt his average just a little bit. But, we'll take it in a game like that. But man, that three at the end of the half. And then it really wasn't only that three. Like, he was working Iowa with the pick and
Pick and
roll,
roll, yeah.
getting to the basket. They legit had no answer for him. It was just a game where it felt like him and Trey, especially in that second half, just kind of put the team on their back and said, "We're gonna make sure that we leave out of here with a win."
Yeah, no, that's definitely what it seemed like. It just seemed like those two were just kind of like, all right, well, we're not losing this game. And like you said, with Braden, man, he hits that three at the end of the first half, and then in the second half, like you said, he was really, really in control. Like, I mean, he was getting to where he wanted to get to on the floor, whether it was a mid-range, whether it was to the basket. Every three was set up on some good ball screen action, or he was just pulling up, splash. It didn't really matter. I mean, it was really like he had buckets for he, she, they, and them. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was really equal opportunity out here. And then obviously with Trey, with those two working off the pick and roll, and his performance at the free throw line. I'm not gonna speak about that in a bigger sense, but like, yes, Trey splashing free throws as well. Yeah, it
Especially
just
late.
right, exactly, especially late. And yeah, it just like you said, like that game very much so felt like the one. Like if they were gonna stub their toe, the Iowa game just looked like the perfect candidate, because especially with the news about Owen Freeman, like you're definitely gonna have a team that's kind of like trying to respond and not allow that to really deter their season. And like that's a perfect opportunity when you have some bad news like that. You have the number seven team in the country coming in. You're able to get a win there, and that could be something that kind of spring vaults you onto like a bit of a winning streak that for Iowa would then put them back in the picture from a larger scale of like trying to get in the trying, making the tournament and stuff. So, they were playing with a little extra added juice themselves. And you talked about Josh Dix and how he stepped up. He had 27 points. But yeah, you really just you look at Braden and TKR, and those two were just the ones who were like, yeah, like we're not gonna like we're leaving here with the win. The words of Denzel Washington, I'm leaving here with something.
Yeah, and so Trey's final stat line, 10 of 18 from the field, 5 of 5 from the line, and 25.7 rebounds. And I do want to talk about the third leading scorer as well. And man, I wish he would have got one more rebound so he could have
Right.
got a
Right.
double double. But you can't speak enough about the game that Caleb first had too. And 10 points, 9 rebounds. Really,
He's in
if you're
five
gonna
fouls too.
nitpick, if you're gonna nitpick, like, 6 of 10 from the free throw line, so all fouls he drew were shooting fouls. You would like to see that percentage go up just a little bit, but man, he really stepped up in a game and just, not only like the points and rebounds, but just kind of his energy and just what he brought around the rim. Just man, like Purdue doesn't win that game if Caleb doesn't have the type of game that he had.
Yeah, no, I feel like it's been the story of Caleb, like in this whole resurgence this year, is that I feel like, we've said that several times about how like Purdue doesn't win that game without Caleb first. And, like, yeah, he had a great stat line, 10-9. It was a 10-9, and then he had three steals. He had the most steals of everyone on the team. And then, like, yeah, like you said, he drew five fouls. And I would argue that like his impact was even was his, his impact was even greater than that, because I felt like he, he deflected a lot. He deflected a lot of passes, batting out rebounds, like missed shots for rebounds. He was, like you said, his energy was so, it was so good, and it was so pivotal too, because again, like on the road, you need a guy who's going to be doing that stuff, who's going to be that energy guy, who's just kind of making sure, making the hustle plays, and just kind of being scrappy. Like you said, yeah, I mean, you'd love to see him shoot like 7 of 10 or maybe 8 of 10 from the free throw line with that many opportunities, but nonetheless, at least it was 6 of 10, because it could have been, it very easily could have been worse. And yeah, for him, I would have loved it if he'd have been able to get that other rebound, so that way we have 10, and that would have been just kind of like a nice feather in the cap. But yeah, man, Caleb had a, he had a really good game. He had a really good game, and just as you said, like, we do not win that game without his performance.
So then the Boilermakers returned to Mackey to take on USC, another Friday night game. And it was a very interesting game because, Sim, if I would have told you at the start that Braden Smith scores 9 points, I bet you don't think that Purdue wins by 18. But that just kind of goes to show like the different ways that this team can win games. They did not shoot the ball very well at all, especially from three. But they dominated the paint. And I think there was a long stretch, especially to start the game, where USC didn't even have a rebound. And you look in both Caleb and Trey finished with 10 rebounds each. So they, the bigs really dominated the paint, and just kind of a very workmanlike game where like you just look up and you're like, oh shit, we're up by 18.
Yeah, no, that's what we were talking about a little bit before, before we recorded. And like, usually if you win by 18, you can kind of point to something like, yeah, man, like we were, like, we jumped on them early, and you know what I'm saying, we were just beating their ass the whole game. But it really wasn't that way. It was kind of just like a, it was like a slow bleed. Like I felt like we were up, we're up like 5, and then all of a sudden it's like, wait, nope, now you're up 13. And you're like, okay, you're up 13. It's like, oh, nope, now you're up 20. You're like, wait, what? Like how are we getting here? And yeah, I mean, I was like, to address your first point, if you told me that Braden only had 9 points, I not only don't think Purdue wins by 18, I might be saying myself, like, I'm not even really a sports fan. I'm more into arts and crafts anyways. So the fact that we were able to win with him not, having the same type of offensive output, and obviously it's not like we're sitting here asking him to put up 30 every game, but for him to for us to win so comfortably, and to not have, and for him to not even have, like 15, 16 points, you'd rather just for him to have less than 10. It's just, it's, it, again, it speaks to this team and what they're truly capable of. I mean, you had two guys who were in double figures, Fletch and TKR, but then you have, I think it was, what, 6 or 7 guys who had at least 7 points. So again, I think that kind of speaks to the way that that lead grew. It wasn't like there was one other guy who just like, who got hot and then like, oh snap, like, yeah, now you're up 20. It was almost like it was like everyone was taking a turn, like getting a bucket. Like, so it was just kind of, hey, like, okay, Caleb, you, okay, then next CJ, okay, then you, Fletch, and then, I'm excuse me, then you, Braden, then you, Jakari, and like, it was just kind of like, and everyone had to take their turn, almost like a draft order or some shit.
It was just like a really impressive, for lack of a better term, just a team win. But I do want to talk about Trey because there was a lot of talk on Twitter, leading up to this game about how Trey was left off of both the I won't say his name because he's a weirdo, but the Power Forward Award and the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Award. And you know, whether you look at him as a power forward or as a center, you know, I think that could be
Debatable.
debatable. What's not debatable is him being left off of both lists, which was just a travesty. But it felt like a game where Trey was gonna be like, all right, I'll show y'all then, like, y'all gonna disrespect me if we're gonna do some Denzel quotes. And he came out and just from jump, it, you know, it felt like he kind of was playing with a chip on his shoulder. In the post game, you know, he kind of brushed it off a little bit, but you know,
I know he
you have
knew.
to think he
I know
knew.
he knew. Well, I say, I know he knew. He said he
he
didn't. Like, he tried to, yeah, he tried to be all cool and be like, oh, word? I didn't know. And I looked at him like, sir, naysayer.
But you know, he comes out 8 of 12 from the field, 8 of 9 at the line, 10 rebounds, so 24 points. And really, USC just had no answer for him. Whether it was, you know, on the block, whether it was kind of like the baby hooks from, you know, right inside the paint, wherever Trey wanted to go, Trey could get, and he was vanishing too. And just, you know, a really impressive performance from him. And honestly, he probably could have even had more. I think he left was about like what, probably 7 or 8 minutes left in the second half when he got the inadvertent kick from Miles. And I
Oh,
don't think
right.
he came back into the game. But you know, so he we could have been looking at a 30-point performance from him. But just, you know, a really good overall game. And then it got announced that he was the Big Ten Player of the Week the third time this year. But I mean, you just can't say enough good things about what he did against USC there.
Yeah, I felt like I recall too a few times where like he got the ball on the post and there was somebody else on his side and he just cleared them out and was like, get out of here. And I feel like when he does that, that's when he knows like, yep, like everybody here's food. And I mean, 24 and 10, and he drew 11 fouls. I mean, drew 11 fouls. Like those are, I feel like those are the numbers we talk about with Edie
Half.
last year.
Half of the whole team, like USC committed 22 fouls the whole game. Half of them were against Trey.
But yeah, I mean, and obviously, like you mentioned it before, you know, him being left off those awards list. Yeah, I mean, I don't get it. Like myself, I know we were talking about it offline about how that just like it really doesn't make any sense. You know, Braden, I think said he said here we go with this BS again. And obviously, Painter was was calling people out in terms of like basically saying that like we have some idiots who are out here kind of making these type of making these call make making these like these votes and these decisions. But yeah, man, it was just a solid game from him, man. And it just feels like that's just what we've gotten from him more times than not. He was efficient, 8 of 12, and then again he had another good performance from the free throw line, 8 of 9. It's just really good to see from him. And yeah, and even with the rebounds, like I mean, like 20, yeah, like 10 rebounds and 7 of them were offensive. I think you mentioned it earlier too, like there was a point in the game where like USC wasn't getting shit for rebounds. So like basically if a shot was going up, whether it was ours or theirs, it was like it was one of our guys who was going to get the rebound. And yeah, man, just I appreciate the fact that even despite the fact that he's not getting necessarily the recognition that he should be, and I thought Painter brought up a good point about how like I think the same thing happened to Braden last year, where like I think it was like the mid-season he didn't get he like was left off of a point guard list, but then when they like announced the final five, he was there. So Painter was like, he's like, so they've shown me they can correct an error, and he basically was saying like, yeah, you have to do that here. But it was just nice to see that Trey, even though he publicly said, I didn't notice that he still just kind of took it as like, nope, I'm gonna go out and let's get to work. And I kind of agree with you. I think he did have a little bit extra on his shoulder, on his a little extra chip on his shoulder today of that night of wanting to show people like, no, I'm really out here like that.
Yeah, and then you know, I know we just talked about him, but we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Caleb. In the game against Iowa, he finishes with 10 points, 9 rebounds. In the game against USC, he finishes with 9 points, 10 rebounds. So man is right there for a double double, but also became the the winningest player in school history with 111 wins. So pretty impressive feat for him. Not sure it'll even last a full year because I'm pretty sure Braden and Fletch will pass him next year, but give the man some flowers now. Pretty cool record for him. But those are the type of games that you really need from Caleb. He was 4 of 4 from the field. It was all either lobs or rebound putbacks. Everything was right around the rim. And it was just that energy that he brought. And as we look ahead kind of to this upcoming schedule, I'm not saying he needs to get a double double every game or right there at it, but that's the energy that we really need from him. And it's what he's brought, and quite frankly, it's kind of helped turn this team around after those games in December.
Yeah, the way he's played the last two games, that's absolutely for this upcoming stretch that we have, particularly, these next four, you're gonna need similar effort from him. You can almost say too, in some of a couple of those games, he's probably gonna have to be he might even need to be better than what he's been in those two games. But again, like Caleb's a guy who for us, he doesn't necessarily need to show in the box score. His ability to impact the game goes beyond that. And so, if we're getting that again, we're getting the same type of performance that we're getting from him. And maybe if it doesn't show on the stat sheet, but you have a couple other guys, stepping up, then yeah, obviously you like our chances going forward. What I just liked, when we talked about it at the top when we were talking about this about the game, is I just like the fact that you had so many other guys who were able to who were contributing. Just like, yeah, you didn't, like I said, only two guys in double figures, but then you had what, six, seven other guys who had at least 7 points. And I think you don't expect Braden every game to have 9 points. So it feels safe to say that, yeah, he probably will have, a few more points, in games going forward. But if you're able to get, eight from CJ, eight from Jakari, what was it, eight from Miles, eight from Raleigh. And I thought Raleigh actually had, I thought he had a good game. We were talking about this before, before we recorded. He had a few moments in that USC game where it really looked like the game was starting to slow down. Like he just like made a lot smarter decisions. I can't help but think back to the Oregon game when he took that three and everyone on the bench just kind of looked at him like, "What the fuck are you doing?" But it just seems as though like that game for him seemed really, it was really positive. I mean, in 8 minutes of play to have 8 points and 2 boards, drew a couple fouls, and like I just felt like that was really good for him. Really hope he can build off of that. Miles, even though like the shooting numbers weren't great, he had a really good all around game. And you just again, our request with Miles and Cam is really the same every game. It's just like, we need to be able to expect to get, we need the consistency from them. So like, yeah, you have 8 and 5 today, but like, going forward, we're gonna need that same thing. And Cam was plagued by some foul trouble, but like you expect if he's able to stay out of foul trouble, he's gonna be able to give you a bit more as well. I just, yeah, I really like, that's kind of the thing I took away from the USC game, was just seeing how many guys were able to see a few shots go in. And you just kind of hope that we're able to build on that in terms of just guys continuing to be able to contribute offensively, because I don't think you get through this next stretch if you're just leaning on Braden Fletch and TKR to just like basically combine for like 70 points a game. Like that's just not gonna work.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up Raleigh because I feel like he had a really old, like a really solid game. I know you said the 8 points, but it felt like he was very efficient. And I'm trying to see how I can word this, but like I'm glad that it was all 2-pointers because I feel like he's gotten a little stretch happy and taken some threes. And obviously Purdue had a strength against USC in the paint. And it was good to see Raleigh kind of take advantage and kind of show too like that he can play, with his back to the basket, down on the block too, and had a couple nice moves down there. And I think this game is just gonna help his confidence grow. And just kind of like you said, that's what we're gonna need, whether it's not. And it's kind of what we've been, I feel like we've kind of been beating this drum all year. But this game really emphasized like there's different guys that can step up each night. And against USC, it just happened to be basically everybody.
Right.
And that's why you were able to win the way that you were. I did want to just give, my weekly Braden stat. So I thought that this was pretty interesting. It just kind of goes to speak of like the way that Braden is just filling up the record books. So Braden had 9 points, 13 assists. With those 13 assists, he moved into second on Purdue's single season assist list with 211 behind himself when he had 292 last year. So he's already in second place for assists, and you can just imagine, how high that is going to go the rest of the year. But man, just goes to show that the run that he has been on, and really kind of, I think the momentum is really kind of starting to pick up for him, as far as nationally, and he's really starting to get kind of the recognition there. But man, just night in, night out, it may not always be scoring. But he finished with five steals also. So
Yeah, that's
cough,
what
cough,
I was about to point out.
defensive player of the year, cough,
Yeah.
cough. Like he's doing it on both ends of the court, man. And
Yeah.
like I just we talked about it a lot last year with Edie and how we hope like just wanted fans to appreciate kind of the excellence that we were witnessing. And it's starting to get there with Braden as well, where like of course, it's two totally different styles, and he's probably not going to be a two-time national player of the year. You never know; he might be, but I hope that people like appreciate his style of greatness too, because what he is doing is just stuff. He's resetting the record books every week.
Yeah, man. Like I the steals one to me, I think is going to be interesting to track. I haven't really been like following what his total, like his season totals are, the steals, and I need to go look that up. But it just feels like every game, man, dude's getting three, four steals. And for a guy his size, and it's arguable to say that like he's usually kind of he's probably going to be the smaller guy in most of the matchups that he has, but for him to still be able to impact the game defensively the way that he is, I definitely think I don't know necessarily about necessarily like defensive player of the year, but I mean it wouldn't shock me if we get to the end of the year and that boy finds himself on all first team Big Ten on defense. That would be like, yeah, I would be like, okay, yeah, that checks out. It's just and the minutes that he's been logging too. While still being able to do all of this, to me, again, it's just like it must be nice, what is he, 20? Must be nice, have young legs, but it's really impressive to me, man, how he's been able to do all of these things night in and night out, being able to impact the game in multiple ways, offensively and defensively, and he's logging just all of these minutes. And like you said, it's different from Zach, of course, but like you can almost like they're like their importance is really kind of the same. It's really kind of the same. I know he kind of splits it with Braden kind of splits it with TKR, but man, like the way that in terms of how much he had Braden has the ball in his hands and how he really is the straw that stirs the drink, you really have to try to enjoy it while trying to remove yourself from like, hey, we need to win, but like you really want to try to enjoy like what you're watching because I believe this season in general feels very special from him.
Yeah, and I did, just one last thing on him because I thought it was very interesting. And I feel like anytime Paint makes specific comments about players, you need to really listen because he doesn't do it a lot. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't ever remember him saying this, but he went out of his way and said that Braden is the best point guard in the country. And I thought that was very
Say that, yeah.
interesting. It's something that we've been saying for a while. And granted, we might be a little biased, and obviously Paint probably is too. But when he speaks like that, he doesn't just do it just because. And I thought that was very interesting from Paint to go out of his way to make sure that to say that Braden is the best point guard in the country.
Yeah, no, I think if you watched enough basketball, I think that you it's it would be You'd be foolish to have watched, if you've watched enough Purdue basketball, to sit there and act like Braden isn't just like, he's not just a good point guard, but he's one of the best that you will watch in the college game. I understand that there's guys who are able to, guys across the country who might be able to, might be a bit more, a bit flashier, or, kind of have the ability to really, like, I think like a guy like Mark Sears, Alabama, who can just kind of go off, in terms of, scoring wise. But the way Braden leads this team and kind of and allows us to operate while also being able to just, like I said, like, impose his will on the game and have his fingerprints all over it. I can't recall a time where I've heard I can't recall a time where I've heard Pate go so out of, like, just, yeah, just like you said, go out of his way to make sure that he made a point about one of his guys. Because I felt like with Zach, it was more so like, well, everyone wants to say that he's just tall and he's not an athlete, and so it was more like speaking towards that. But like, this one felt very much like like, the reality is that Braden's the best point guard in the country, and like, yeah, that, like, we're not gonna sit here and even like debate that for me. And like you said, he might be a bit biased. That's fine, but again, I think the stats are even backing it up. Stats are backing up the fact that he's not just one of the best point guards in the Big Ten. He is one of, if not the best point guard in the country.
So I just thought that was interesting. But let's look ahead now, Sim. And
Yay.
we will talk about Michigan specifically here in a second, but I wanted to just highlight the remaining schedule that the Boilermakers face now. And this is why we were talking about why it was so important to get those wins against Iowa and USC. The Boilermakers have 7 games remaining on their schedule. They travel to Michigan tomorrow, the 11th. They will then take on Wisconsin this weekend. They then go to East Lansing and Bloomington next week. They then return home the following week, the last week of February and the start of March, with games against UCLA and Rutgers. And then they wrap up the year at Champaign on the 7th of March. So you're looking at probably 7 tournament teams, except for IU, who's still right there. IU, though, I mean, they have a
Rutgers.
shot. Rutgers is probably right on the bubble too, but Rutgers has 2 probably lottery picks, so that's never going to be easy. They're playing
Right.
well, and obviously going to Bloomington is never easy. And they gave us everything that we wanted and more here at Mackey. So these games are just gonna be tough.
Right.
But I wanted to highlight these 4 specifically, these next 4 at Michigan, home against Wisconsin, who I think is now ranked in the top 20, maybe top 15. Don't quote me on that. But I know they're at least top 20, I'm pretty sure. And then at Michigan State and at IU. And like you said, off air, we're going to find out everything about this team and kind of where things lie. I feel like we'll have a much clearer picture after these next 2 weeks. And I think, this may sound doom and gloom, but I think realistically, if you can come out of these 4 games with a split, I think you're feeling pretty good about yourself. You will have 4 losses in the Big Ten, which, right now they are tied loss wise with Michigan State and Michigan at 2 losses. I believe they have one
One more
more
win.
win. And Michigan State and Michigan both have to play each other twice. So you have that in your favor, but I think obviously 4-0, and I'm going to be talking about us going to the Final Four. I'm going to be looking at tickets. 3-1, we're going to be feeling really, really good. 2-2, though, I'm still going to be feeling all right. I think kind of that's worst case scenario if you want to have a shot at winning the Big Ten title for a third straight year.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think 2-2 is what you have to, is kind of the bare minimum. I generally think that the team that wins the Big Ten is actually probably going to have between 4 and 5 losses. So, obviously going 2-2 there would put you at 4, and again, yeah, like depending on how things shake out elsewhere, yeah, you might have even still a little bit more wiggle room. But yeah, the reality is that this schedule just there's never really been I guess a crazy easy part of it, and it damn sure ain't now. So I mean, like, Michigan, I expect Michigan to come out hot tomorrow, because I know they haven't forgotten about what happened to them a couple weeks ago here. I know they haven't. They've probably been itching at the opportunity to get back. To get their lick back. Wisconsin, I just don't even. I mean, Wisconsin always just gives me a case of the willies. And then, yeah, obviously, Michigan State. That's the only time you play them that year, this year. And unfortunately, yeah, it is just in East Lansing, and that's going to be a tough environment. And then, yeah, rivalry game with the IU game. It's always going to be challenging. Even though, like, they've been having some stuff going on on their end, with terms with Mike Woodson, and in terms of like players being called out about like how tough they're playing and stuff like that. They will get up for that game. They will get up for that game. Because two, like, games against like Indiana, and then like we're looking a bit further, and like when you have like Rutgers, like for those teams who are either trying to go after the tourney or they're trying to salvage their season, like, anytime you're going on the road now, like, you're a ranked team. So if you're a ranked team and you're going up against someone who's not ranked or they're ranked less than you, they're looking at that like, hey, man, we can make some hay here. And then the students and the fans are probably thinking like, yo, this is an opportunity to court storm. So yeah, I think 2-2. I'm gonna try to reel you back in if they go 3-1, or if if they go 4-0. I'll try
Good
to reel
luck.
you back down to earth, because I know you're gonna be sitting here talking a certain kind of way. But yeah, man, it just this is like, yeah, like we talked about at the top of the episode, this is why last week was so important, because of the next four that you have coming up. You couldn't afford to drop another one. We couldn't have another Ohio State or a Penn State. You just couldn't have that going into this. You needed to kind of have a clean sheet. So we'll see how it goes. The stress was already started for me in terms of that Michigan game. So I know my heart rate's going to be doing just fine over the next couple weeks.
And just one last thing, kind of on the schedule in general, before we talk about Michigan specifically. But of this final seven regular season games, six of them are quad one games.
Yay.
So that just goes to show you how big these games are, how tough they're going to be. And just buckle up and get ready. I will say that Purdue does have seven quad one victories, which is tied for third most in the country, behind Auburn and Tennessee. So, they have had success in quad one games. But even looking down the road even more, it's really a chance to build your resume. And really put some statement wins kind of on there. And one probably major statement win, I would argue this may be, if they do win this game, this could be the biggest win that they would have resume wise. I know they beat number two Alabama at home. But going to Ann Arbor to take on number 20 Michigan after the way you beat them at home. Like you said, they're going to be ready to play, man. It is going to be a battle from start to finish. I think of like the viral video of Paint that was going around Twitter over the weekend, where he's talking in the huddle. I think it was the IU game, and he was I was saying this is not for the week. It's going to be a game like that. I really wish it wasn't on Peacock, but that's another story for another day. But it will be a 7 p.m. Eastern tip-off on Peacock tomorrow night, the 11th. It'll be Noah Eagle and Robbie Hummel, so we'll have Robbie on the call. But man, it's a game that really scares me.
So I'll just tell you straight up, I don't like your audio went out there for a second,
Sorry.
but no, I mean that Michigan game, it does that Michigan game, man, it does have it has a it has all the buildup of it being like just the perfect revenge game for them, man. It really does. It really allows them to make a statement too, in terms of like from a national standpoint. So yeah, it's important that like assuming that they come out amped up and ready to go. It's important that we come out and match that energy and being able to take when they throw these punches, we have to be able to respond and be able to kind of like not allow the moment to get too big, to not find ourselves in a situation where I feel like these are the games where if their intensity's high and we're not matching it, we're going to turn the ball over a lot. And I feel like when we turn the ball over a lot, like that's going to just feed them into, it could be an avalanche going the other way, because that's how it got bad for them, is we were turning them over constantly. And then they were just, layups, splashing threes, more layups. And then, just all of a sudden they look up and they're down 20 and they've, spent two timeouts in the first like 4 minutes of the game. So yeah, I mean, like, we're talking about all four, and before that talking about the seven, but this one in particular, like you said, not only it would be a beautiful win for the resume, and obviously, and I think, yeah, I would agree with you that it would be arguably the biggest win that this Purdue team has had, because it's not going to be like the Alabama game. The Alabama game was at least at home. This one you're going into a hostile environment. So yeah, I'm just as nervous. I would just have to figure out what will be my alcohol of choice to help me stem the nerves.
Yeah, and that apologize about the audio there. Hopefully you can hear me a little better now. Obviously, with this game, the two matchups to watch are going to be Trey and Danny Wolf and Braden going up against Trey Donaldson. And really, it was probably Trey Donaldson. When I say Trey, probably Trey and Danny Wolf's worst
First
games
games.
that they've had all year. Both of them really struggled. And that they've had this game kind of on their radar since coming to Mackey. And it was a game where Trey Kaufman Wren really kind of dominated the paint, and looked like the best big man on the court. And it's a game where, it feels like a very statement game from both sides. Michigan really needs this game to kind of assert themselves in the Big Ten standings, I feel like. And for Purdue, kind of a statement game that, kind of just says that we're the top dog and, everything still runs through us type game. That's kind of the feel that it has. And man, it just feels like it's going to be like a boxing match where it's just going to be haymaker after haymaker. It feels like a game where you're going to need your role players.
That's what I was gonna say.
I feel like it's a game to me that Miles is going to be big in. I think Miles is due for a really big game, man. A game where he's like 4 or 5 from three type game. And I think it could be just be wishful thinking, but this feels like a game to me where Miles is going to break out of his slump. But regardless, you're going to need those role players to really rise up.
Yeah, that was to me, that's kind of what I think it's going to come down to. I think you can expect, TKR, Fletch, Braden, and even Caleb to an extent, even though obviously we don't necessarily run set plays for them, offensively. But I think from those first three, I think you can definitely expect for them to understand that offensively they I think they will understand, like, hey, we have to be scoring, we have to be attacking. But I think that the production that you're able to get from the others is just going to be of the utmost, and you'll need something from CJ, you'll need some from Jakari. But like you said, to me, I'm not just I'll take it one step further. I don't think it's just Miles who is kind of due for a big game. I think Cam too, and I think you need them both to have a good game. Like if those two can combine for like 16 and 12, 16 points, 12 boards between the two of them, I'd like that would that like assuming you get some other production, and I'm again that there's some other things that obviously have to play out, but if that's what you're if you know if the big three play the way that they're supposed to, you're getting good minutes, good energy from Caleb. And those two are able to give you 16 and 12 because that's going to make Painter, like, when if they're playing well, Painter's going to play them more. And I think that the size that they bring, the size and the athleticism that they bring, that helps you really on both sides of the floor. So I think those two are really, for me, those two are my key in terms of, like, they're going to be kind of the key indicators, not when we're not talking about a specific, like, stat, because of course, like, things like turnovers and 3-point shooting are going to be important as well. But I think if you're talking about guys and who need to step up, you need Cam and you need Cam and you need Miles. This is the type of game. These are the games coming up where you need to be able, like we're talking about with, the other guys about, like, leaning on that leadership. You need those guys to be able to step up and give you something now too.
And I did just want to highlight, I thought it was kind of interesting. This is the first time that both teams will be ranked in the same game in Ann Arbor since December 1st of 2018. And this is the ninth time that both teams will be ranked in a game in the Chrysler Center, and the first eight times have been split four each. So it feels like a game that's going to come down to the wire. That's, it's almost like who's going to have the ball last is almost what it feels like. I know you talk about turnovers, rebounding. One other thing that I think is going to be massive is going to be free throw shooting, especially with the bigs for Purdue. It has kind of been an area for the year where Trey and Caleb, have really had an area to improve. Trey has really stepped it up recently. But even guys like Braden and Fletch, I feel like have just taken a step back. They're missing more free throws than normal, it feels
Uncharacteristically,
like.
yeah. I was gonna say, yeah,
It
they're
feels like.
uncharacteristically missing free throws, and that when you have two bigs who don't percentage wise shoot very well from the line, having your guards, the ones who I think they both shoot like 86% from the for the year, when those two guys now are starting to miss some free throws, yeah, that definitely gives you a bit of pause. So yeah, I would agree, the free throws, and I'd say just on the realm of fouls, I'm gonna be interested to see how they officiate the post play tomorrow. I'm very interested about that because that seems like it can have a pretty significant effect on how the game goes. Because, yeah, I'm not gonna say it, but yeah, I'm just be curious to see what how it
Let's
gets
just
officiated.
all go out on a limb and hope that Hynes is not officiating
Please,
the
or Kelly
game,
Pfeiffer,
because
respectfully.
man, Hynes is might be the worst official out there right now. And I'm glad that Chris Collins gave him the business, even though he got thrown out. But let's hope that he's not there. But I have not seen the list of officials yet, but fingers crossed that Mr. Anderson is not in Ann Arbor tomorrow night. Noah Eagle and Robbie Hummel will both be there. They'll be doing the game. So while the game is on Peacock, at least we get some decent broadcasters on there. And yeah, man, it just feels like one of those games that is gonna really, it's not gonna be the end of the world if Purdue loses this game. But if Purdue wins this game, it feels like it gives you just a little bit of breathing room, going down the stretch, especially with Michigan specifically, because you'll have taken both games. So you essentially would have a two-game lead over
And just them.
Michigan.
Yeah.
There's just so many layers in this game. And man, it's always tough on the road. It's even tougher against a team as good as Michigan. It's even tougher when you beat the brakes off of them earlier in the year. So it's going to be a crazy environment, man. I'm going to put you on the spot, though, Sim. Do the Boilermakers come out of Ann Arbor with a victory?
That's a foul question to ask, man. I don't like that because I'm pessimistic by nature.
I had to do it. The people want to know.
let me say this: if they lose tomorrow, if they lose again, folks, it's not the end of the world.
It's not the end of the world.
However, I do think Purdue can win tomorrow. I do think Purdue can win. But like I said, I was kind of touching on it earlier. I think that you have to get production from the bench And if you do get that, I can see Purdue winning it, I'd say 77-71.
Oh, we get a score too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. So I don't know what the over under is for the game, but yeah. And actually, when you were mentioning the whole last time they were ranked playing each other was, I think, with December of 2018. I think that was, yeah, that was the year when Purdue had like the 21-22 game win streak.
That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think the second time they played him at Mackey, and like that, I remember that second half just being some of the most efficient basketball on both ends. Like the defense was just completely MIA that half. But yeah, I genuinely do believe Purdue can win tomorrow. They've shown us all year that they have different ways to win. Like they can win a shootout, they can win a slugfest, and they can also just win one where they kind of control it. And I think we've seen it both at home and on the road. So I definitely believe this team has they have the capability, the tools to do so. But obviously, having the capability and actually going out and doing it are two different things. But yeah, if the over under is like 136, take the over.
That's a very specific number to throw out, but
Never say that.
I do kind of agree with everything you said. I think it'll be a very close game. Here's to hoping that the Boilermakers are on the right side of it. Again, I'll go over this again because of the audio. I don't know if it was heard, but it is a 7 p.m. tip off tomorrow on Peacock. Noah Eagle and Robbie Hummel and Caroline Panita on the call. It'll be interesting, man. Like we said, it's monster game because of the impact that it could have as far as the Boilermakers putting a stranglehold on that top spot. Especially against Michigan, because it does give you basically a two-game lead.
You
But
start to get
like
into
we have,
you start to
I'm
get into
sorry.
control your I sorry, sorry I was gonna say you start to get into control your own destiny territory. Like if
Yeah.
you win, like you win against Michigan, and now it's like, oh, okay. So like you said, you have the season sweep over them. You would have two losses, they would have three, but like you said, it was the extra, you have the tie break, so there's that. And then obviously you move to the next game, and it's kind of like, hey, if you win that again, you have another step up, and then mess around and go to Michigan State, and it's kind of the same thing where like you with each game and each win, you get more and more into that. Hey, this, like you said, this what like the Big Ten title goes through Purdue, and then it's more of like, hey guys, if we just take care of our business, no one can take it from us.
Yeah, and then it's funny because if you beat Michigan, then you instantly turn around and become a gigantic Michigan fan and root for them to knock out Michigan State twice.
Look, man, I'll be up in Michigan. I'll go ahead and scoop me up a hoodie or two. You know what I'm saying? Let's say go blue.
That's the kind of the way that the schedule is set up. It's going to be a very fun and entertaining kind of last few weeks here. A lot of interesting games, not only for Purdue, but just the Big Ten in general, and a lot to be decided. And that's what you want, you know. That's
You
what
want
kind of
meaningful
paints
games at
this
this point of
off.
the year.
Yep, exactly. That's what makes this so much fun. And hopefully we're saying all of this again tomorrow because if they lose, it may not be as fun. But
Might have to listen to this back tomorrow.
as of right now, that's what makes this so much fun.
Right. Hey,
But
hopefully we do win.
regardless of what happens, Sim and I will be here to break it all down. It is a 7 p.m. Eastern tip in Ann Arbor on Peacock. This is your reminder again. It is on Peacock. Noah Eagle and Robbie Hummel and Caroline Panita on the call. It'll be an interesting one, man. Just really hope Purdue kind of responds. Both teams are coming off a four-game winning streak, so something's got to give. Like we have emphasized, if they lose, it's not the end of the world. So please do not go on Twitter and talk about how bad this team
The
is,
sky
how
is
things are
falling,
falling
right?
apart, how this team's never going to win, yada, yada, yada. Still a lot of basketball left, no matter what happens. But again, no matter what happens, we'll be here to break it all down. So thank y'all for listening. Thank y'all for interacting with us. Please continue to interact with us on Twitter. Please continue to download, share, tell all your friends. Thank y'all very much. But most importantly, y'all, boiler up.
Is there the game's on Peacock?
Yes, sir.